إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, there seems to be especially, I was going to say among the youth, but I think this is more than that, it extends to the parents of the youth as well. There is basically a confusion in the mind about why we need religion at all. On the one hand, you have people who think that religion, and in this case we mean Islam, is really a question of what will happen after we die. So we want to go to heaven and not to hell. We want to go to Jannah, not to Jahannam. So therefore religion has to do with that. And so I need to pray 5 times a day, I need to pay zakat. Mainly these are the 2 things. Then Ramzan, of course everybody fasts, like everybody eats halim. And then if you have a chance, you go for an umrah, you have a chance, you go for hajj. And as far as we are concerned, that's the application of religion in our lives. And then things like weddings, or somebody dies, you go for janaza or something. So this seems to be, at least for a large number of people, the application of religion in our lives. Nothing more than this. They are not anti-religion, they are not enemies of Allah, or they are not brothers of shaitan, nothing like this. They are ordinary good people. But they do not find any meaning or application of religion in their lives other than this. On the other side, you have got people who feel that even this is not required. And the evidence they work with or think about is that they are looking at purely material success as the only criterion of judging anybody in this world. So do you have money or not? Do you have property or not? In some cases you might even extend and say, do you have some political influence or some standing in society? Other people might say, well, that is not important, as long as I've got enough money and I've got property and so on, I am a successful person. And quite rightly, they look around themselves and they see that people who are not Muslim also have all this. And they usually have more than you have. So why do I need religion? So if I have to do something, if I'm skirting the boundaries, or if I have one leg inside the boundary, one leg outside the boundary, as far as the legality of things are concerned, from an Islamic perspective, I'm not talking about legal as in the state. So all of this is acceptable. So whether it's borrowing money on interest, or that's the main one which happens. People who have money will still borrow on interest, because some banker has sold them some story of how they should leverage their funds and they should not spend it, and never spend your own money, always spend somebody else's money, all of these kinds of things which get talked about. So as far as they are concerned, they feel that to succeed in this world, we don't need religion. So maybe I don't practice at all, or even if I practice, well, it's more cultural than anything else. For example, you find people who go for Eid Salah. If you ask them, why did you come for Eid Salah? Oh, I get to meet everybody here. So Eid Salah is not for the Salah, it's only to meet people. And of course, other Salawat, you don't meet anybody, because most people don't go for Salah to the Masjid anyway. So I don't need to go for Salah. So a lot of this guy. So these are the two kind of dichotomies. Even youth, I am studying, it seems to be a fairly straightforward path. I study, I do well in my studies, I get it a good job, or I start a business, I do well, I retire, meanwhile I collect some property, I do something. So where does religion come into this? Why do I need religion at all? And this is the result today of the culture that has become pervasive and has become universal, which is the culture of materialism, where our whole aim and goal has been shifted. And our aim and goal seems to be material well-being. So as I said, must have money, must have property and so forth. And this is the sole aim. I always recall for several years, quite a few years actually, I was on the board of the IDB, Islamic Development Bank, for their scholarships in this part of the world. And one of the scholarships that IDB used to give is a scholarship for study in pure science. So if somebody wants to do mathematics and wants to specialize in mathematics, get a PhD in mathematics, do research in mathematics, so also in physics, in chemistry, in biology, so pure science, IDB used to give a scholarship which took them from the basic, you know, that is from the basic degree all the way up to the top, all the way up to getting a doctorate. IDB funded that whole thing 100%, right? So obviously it looked like a fantastic thing. So when the scholarship was announced, we said, oh, this will never be able to, you know, this money will never be able to be sufficient for the number of people who will come. To our great surprise, year after year, we had to return the funds. Some of the funds we had to return because there was nobody willing to come to take this scholarship. This is free money. And if you ask them, what's the problem? Why would you not take this scholarship and study and do this? They say, no, but you know, there is no money in that. There is no, you can't get, I mean, after all, what job can I get at the end of getting a PhD in maths? At the most, I will be a lecturer. The point is that is not the reason why you are studying. Why are you studying pure science? You're studying pure science to be able to push back the boundaries of knowledge, to increase, enhance your knowledge, to enhance the sum total of knowledge of the world, discover new things, you know, do research, find out. None of that. Those desires themselves are not there. So how is knowledge going to expand if nobody wants to do research? On top of that, if somebody is in that research area and so on, this person is looked at as if he's a fool. I said, you are a fool, why are you doing this? Here is this, the parents are looked at as if they are fools. You say, here you are a fool. I mean, your son or daughter is so intelligent, they are doing so well at maths. Why are they doing this? They should be in ITs, for example. I mean, IT is the sort of prime thing. So because you get very good jobs in IT. You should be in IT, should be in something. Now, the point is that if we set this one goal, which is to make money as the only goal, then not only religion makes no sense, even science makes no sense. So, the issue is, therefore, what does Islam tell us? So, is religion required at all? You know, do we have, is there a need? And this is where I think a lot of the problem comes with how we have traditionally taught and learned about religion, where we have not connected the two. We teach about Allah as if there is no, we teach the Kitab of Allah as if there is no creation, and we teach about the creation as if there is no creator. And this dichotomy and this fractured way of teaching has resulted in this. Islam, on the other hand, shows us that we need this religion in order to succeed in this world first, and then in the Akhirah. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mazra'ul Akhirah." He said, the world is the tilth, it is the fields, it is the cultivation for the Akhirah. So doing things in this world in order to earn the Akhirah. It's not only about getting Jannah. How will you get Jannah if you don't work for it? And when you say work for Jannah, where will you work for Jannah? In this world. Which other place is there to work for Jannah? So when we are looking at this dunya, if we are looking at teaching of Islam and understanding Islam, we have to look at it in the context of how does it help me in this life? Because if my religion cannot get me a piece of bread, how is this religion going to save me on the day of judgment? So it's as simple as that. So therefore, if you are looking at it in the sense of when we are talking about the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with me? That is through not doing some specific deeds which are titled under the heading of good deeds, which we generally take to mean giving charity. If you ask somebody, what is a good deed? Or what are the good deeds that you did in the last 5 days, last 7 days, from last Jummah to this Jummah, how many good deeds did you do? Apart from your personal ibadat, what will you say? At the most, you might say, well, you know, I gave some charity to somebody. That's it. And if you ask, well, you know, in this last 1 week, from last Jummah to this Jummah, were you locked up in one room and you didn't go anywhere, you didn't do anything? No, I did. I went to the office, I went to my business, I dealt with people, I went for a walk, I drove my car. So how come you don't count all of these as good deeds? Because we don't think of them as good deeds. That is not our niyyah, that is not our focus. I did not drive my car. When I sat in my car, I didn't make the niyat to say, I'm going to drive today in a way that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, be pleased with me. Take me safely from point A to point B, wherever I'm going. And then when I'm driving the car, I'm driving the car legally, like a decent human being, not like some animal. And then I'm, you know, in the car, I'm sitting there, maybe I'm listening to some Quran, maybe I'm making some zikr. Like somebody said, some guy has a bumper sticker which says, I love Jesus. He said, but his driving seems to say, I want to meet Jesus. You know, so this is the difference between talk and action. So I'm just saying, now we say, I went to my office. Okay, so was that a good deed? It could be a good deed if you decide to make it a good deed, which is in my office. How will I deal with my people who work for me? How will I deal with my customers? You know, what will I do in my time in the office? How will I do my business in a way which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I do my business in a way which helps other people? Now take this recent cave rescue that happened in Thailand. These boys who were rescued from this cave, they were inside this cave for 17 days. I didn't even know that. 17 days they were underground, underwater. Not underwater, but they were in a chamber, but you know, they were underground. Now this person who is Australian anesthesiologist who is being named as the champion of the whole thing, and he came and he helped them to come out and so on. The Thai Navy SEALs, of course, did a fantastic job. But I'm saying, here was this Australian man who was on holiday in Thailand. That he is not a local person, he has nothing to do with those people. He is on a holiday. And when they contact him, he leaves his holiday, he comes there, and at great risk to his own life, obviously, because it's not, he helps them to rescue all of those children. And at the end of that, the Prime Minister of Australia, Turnbull, is thanking him, and everybody is thanking him, and they're saying they should be given the Australian of the Year award. And well, he said, no, I did not do anything. It's really these people, it's what they did, and so on. So sincere in that. Now, why is he doing all that? The point I'm making is that if we understand religion as the means in order to succeed in this life and the next, then we will understand the value of religion. So why must I pray? We'll do more of this tomorrow and so on, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala. But just now, let us just think about this and say that how does my religion make me successful in this life? And if your religion makes you successful in this life, believe me, that is guarantee, inshallah, that you are successful in the next life. There's no doubt about this, inshallah. Because if your religion is making, we are not talking about success as defined by the stock market. We are talking about success as defined by religion. If the religion is making me successful in this life, then this is Basharat, inshallah. This is the good news that inshallah, Musa'an, I will be successful in my life to come. So how do I define success in this life? According to Islam, how will I define success in this life? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to reflect and think and to come to the right conclusion, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance and to save us from misguidance. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.